Hey, grandkids, welcome to OPA 29. We are chugging on along, Ken.
Yeah, 29. It feels like we're going to be at 30 anytime here now. Wait, last week wasn't 29? Why did I think that?
I just checked it on the site. It said 28 was the most recent one. God. And my computer did not tell me I was overwriting a file either.
Okay.
So that's another good sign that it is at least a future number.
Yes, a future number indeed.
I could have skipped one by accident. That there is that possibility.
No.
We should really maybe be on 27.
All right, so but you're saying with confidence that we're not on number 30 yet.
No, okay. Not on number 30 yet.
We should do a special 30th anniversary episode.
Oh, well, hopefully
I just
we'll
set us up for work now. yeah. So how's your week been going pretty well?
It's a week. Like I said to Jeremy yesterday, I have the unfortunate part of my job is that I am now invited to beer parties from several suppliers around Columbus.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's the hard part of the job. So I've got to go and deal with that. Well, it'll be tomorrow. It'll probably get posted before the show, actually.
Wow, so we're actually coming from the future, then.
Yeah.
It's pretty
future,
crazy.
Future. Well, one of our topics in...
I wish we could segue to Speaking of the Future.
But. Yeah, we can do a Speaking of the Future. And it's more the future is now kind of a topic, really.
Yeah.
I was not completely surprised by this, but the International Space Station this past week just made their own tools on the station with... the aid of a 3D printer.
Correct. So, if I understand the whole story here, they brought this 3D printer up into space to be able to experiment to see if it would, you know, they could get it to work because, you know, everything's different in zero gravity. Like, you rely on gravity to, you know, probably pull the material out of a lot of the printers that, you know, I've seen that used like kind of a drip, you know, melted plastic sort of a situation where it'll, you know, place that down in little lines that kind of build up over time.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it works a little differently in space, you know. The toilets are different in space, you know.
Yeah, everything is a little bit different in space, I'd imagine.
The ice cream is even different. You ever had astronaut ice cream?
You know what? I have not had astronaut ice cream, I don't think.
Wow.
They sell it everywhere. It's too popular. Like, I don't want to get in that line.
So, it's like, you know...
Because it's like fruit... It kind of looks like Fruity Pebbles.
It's like that popular thing that, you know, everybody likes, so that makes you hate it. Is that kind of the situation here?
I don't hate it. I just don't want to wait in the line. Because it's usually at a sporting event of some nature.
Huh.
And a lot of kids are in line to get it.
For whatever reason, I got it.
The Dippin' Dots.
I remember I got it as a stocking stuffer for Christmas one year when I was a kid.
Dippin' Dots?
No, astronaut ice cream.
Oh.
It was like, you know, in a foil bag that you would, you know, open like a bag of chips or something. And, yeah, it is kind of like a Lucky Charms sort of consistency almost, you know. Like,
oh,
it's like real, it's dry.
I thought that they had moved along to something closer akin to the Dippin' Dots.
Oh, okay. Well, this would have been
back in
the, you know, 80s probably. So the astronaut ice cream technology has probably improved by now.
I mean, I'm going to guess they're not drinking Tang anymore.
Hey, I don't know.
I'm throwing it out there.
Hey, if we have any astronauts listening... Do you guys still drink Tang? Hit us up.
At Stunt Granny.
At Gozer33.
At DeFrango11.
And just let us know. Tang or no Tang?
That is the question.
Yes. anyway, we were talking... Oh, 3D printers. So they were experimenting with the 3D printer in space, trying to make sure, you know, they were getting the design right and everything, it was going to work.
Right.
And I guess it worked out pretty well.
Because yeah.
When something broke up on the space station, they needed a tool that they sadly didn't have. And someone came up with the bright idea of using the 3D printer to print a tool for them to use.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense that there would probably be more things on a spacecraft that you would need tools to fix. Because you have exterior problems and interior problems and computer problems. You know, I would imagine it's hard to fit in all of the product that you need to fix all of that stuff that you're being involved with. So it makes sense to have like a printer like this. To me, it seems kind of practical. Well, so that you don't have to lug all that up, and it's just like, oh, okay, this is what you need, and you can punch in the future, you can just kind of have a catalog of parts. You just go, oh, I need, wrench right. number 21.
Sure.
Let's say. And you just punch it in,
yeah.
and it makes it.
Or, a ratchet head or whatever, it is that you need.
Yeah, get the proper size, even.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to take a giant sheaf of them.
Right.
Instead, you're just like, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to print that one size that I need.
Yeah, I guess, it does take some time, but it's, I've seen somewhere, I don't know if it was in this article, how much it costs, per ounce to put something up into orbit. And it's I don't remember what it is, except that I remember thinking that it was a shitload of money.
Yeah, anything involving a space station,
yeah.
it never strikes me as, oh, yeah, this is going to be cheap. And even this, it was, they had to use 21 prints to make this particular wrench that they needed.
Oh, okay. I wonder if it was kind of assembled from smaller parts, maybe.
Yeah, so he must have needed to, he or she, whoever did it. Because I think
sexist.
It says Barry. So I'm going to go astronaut Barry Butch Wilmore.
Could be a woman.
Yeah, it's
I'm a woman.
Very vague possibility.
Oh, well, we'll never know. there's no use in even trying to figure that one out. That's some mysteries are for the ages. But to be able to bring up, instead of all of the tools that you might need, just some of this printing material, that's going to save you a lot of money in the long run.
I would imagine that would be the case.
And just the idea of you could argue in a way that they really, because they had the plans or the I don't know if it's like a CAD file or whatever.
Yeah, they said it was a CAD file that they had
okay.
to, I'm guessing it's not email exactly, but
right.
they had to
transmit
it
yeah.
to the space station. So it was designed here on Earth and then sent up. And I don't know if that's, part of the system or not, because I'm kind of making up the, I'm jumping ahead a version, I think, here.
Yeah.
To be able to just pop in numbers that...
Bring
that thing to life. Because a hard drive and that kind of information would take up space, too. So maybe it's a little more, condensed. Just because, you're in space. That shit is small.
Right. You could take a hard drive and, I'm sure, have hundreds of tools on there, in effect.
Oh,
right. So I don't know. Or... depending on how long it takes, I don't know what kind of data plan NASA has, so maybe they might need to, they may or may not need to worry about that, I guess.
They need to check with Verizon.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they get rollover megabytes on their plan, but, that's going to affect a lot, but, yeah. Now, since this is sort of, like you say, the future is now, sci-fi sort of inventions.
I
think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Star Trek here, because there's actually two pieces of technology here you could say are being maybe not represented just like it was in the Star Trek universe, but you know, we're getting there. Like,
well, I'm not familiar with Star Trek.
You're probably familiar with this one, at least, like the idea of beaming technology.
Oh, yeah. Teleportation.
Right.
I mean, I've always thought about that even since you started watching Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, just because the instant teleportation.
Yeah, the instant teleportation. I mean, that just always seems like such a badass ability.
Well, I mean, like it's flying and shooting energy beams out of your hands is also pretty badass.
Well, yeah. But, like, people always do the, oh, you've got to just pick one.
Well, yeah.
As much fun as flying would be, like, it seems pretty badass to just go, you know what, I feel like being in India right now. Just, you're just there. Like, you don't need to waste the time looking at all the scenery.
Yeah.
You're just there. And if you want to see that scenery in between, you go, oh, fuck it. I'm just going to go over the Grand Canyon now. Boom. And you're just there.
Or, you know, Mars. You know, that's like,
yeah, you can go to Mars.
Dr. Manhattan, type levels there, which I guess Goku basically was. I guess he never, well, he could control things with his mind, like move things around, you know, right? I'm just thinking, yeah, like Dr. Manhattan was like, there's like a scene where he would like totally take apart a machine and like put it back together again with just his mind. And to be fair, Goku would never do something like that.
No, I don't think that would. He's more of just a fighting machine. Like, anything that playful would be beyond the pale,
right,
for Goku.
Okay, back to Star Trek.
Yes, teleportation.
Now, you could argue that having this tool on Earth, right?
Yes.
Let's put it in a 3D scanner, so that they can get, you know, a virtual representation of this tool. They scan it on Earth. Then take that and beam it up to the space station where it is reconfigured and formed.
That'd be pretty cool.
I mean, do you see, it's kind of like a early stages teleportation kind of thing?
Well, people would want to do something inanimate before putting anything animated in there. Even if it's just a mouse or something like that, you're going to want to see proof that some type of a wrench, some inanimate object, that if it disappears, it's not a big deal. I mean, well, anything that you produce for the space station is going to be kind of a big deal, because I'm going to guess it's going to be sort of expensive, at least.
Yeah, I mean, well, that gets into a different area, because, like, okay, so you're doing the beaming without destroying the original copy. Because, I mean, I guess I don't, you know, I feel a little ashamed to admit it, I don't actually understand all of the in-universe explanations for why or and how beaming works. But it seems like if you're going to be, seems like what happens is you're scanning the person's pattern, at least that's what they talk about in the show, and reform it somewhere else. So you have to think that they're destroying one body and like creating another one. Like, so this would be like a beaming where you don't destroy the original copy, you just kind of make another copy of it somewhere else. I don't know how else beaming would work, if you think about it.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Like I
said,
that's
pretty cool, though.
I don't, yeah. So that's beaming, maybe. All right. William Shatner, if you're listening, hit
work.
Us up.
Get us the work right on it.
Yeah. I want to see a screenplay explaining this. But,
well, There's one thing that might not be...
Wait, I had one more thing.
Oh, you had one more thing?
I said two things. Two pieces of technology here.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And I guess this is somewhat related, but they have, at least in the next generation, replicators, where they can basically just, like, order anything. Like, they use it for food and drink a lot.
Oh, okay.
And it just, like, creates it out of, you know, atoms. and, you know, makes everything, you know, like fried chicken or hot tea, you know, people order up.
That seems pretty wild.
And that's something that 3D printing in general is like the first step towards. Like, we're still a ways away, but, you know, I mean, someday I could see, couldn't you see that actually happening now?
Printing food.
Yeah, or as you say, like, the ultimate would be able to be able to somehow print a living thing, like, a, you know.
Oh.
That would be pretty wild, but. They've already done it with, like, chicken, you know, organs, you know, like, they can print, like,
a
heart valve or something, you know.
That's true. I mean, they can grow them on mice, rats, and things like that.
Just now, man.
It is some weird and wild stuff.
That is some weird and wild stuff. That was pretty terrible.
That's why I didn't go for it.
It helps to be right around the age of 40 to understand 40 plus to get that reference. But the kids out there can look it up and maybe they'll know what I'm talking about.
Oh. Well,
Dana Carvey made that one famous. That was a funny one.
Yes. And Dana Carvey lives out in Hollywood.
I think you're right.
And there may be a plan that is also futuristic.
Oh.
To take a hyperloop from Hollywood to San Francisco. At a mere 800 miles an hour.
Ooh, that's moving along.
Yes. You will be moving quickly. Very, very quickly.
Now, I guess they... okay, so let me back up a little bit. What is a Hyperloop, Kevin?
It is a ultra-fast tube transport.
So
that is currently being worked on by for some reason they talk about Elon Musk in this, but he really doesn't have any involvement in the project itself. It's a German engineer who is heading it.
Yeah. I feel like he had some, like, early version of the ideas or something, early plans or something he put out there.
Yeah, like the concept.
Yeah, maybe that was basically it.
Yeah, he threw out kind of the concept, and, Dirk Allborn.
That's a great name. That sounds like a comic superhero. Dirk Allborn.
Yeah, it does.
At your service.
It sounds very noble.
Yes.
It could sound very noble.
What could a man? How could a man named Dirk Allborn ever lead us astray? It's impossible.
It was kind of amusing to see the very vague project costs.
Right, and this, I guess, is. Well, okay, so we're basically talking about something that's like a bank teller tube, in a way?
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially, you know, a fancy bus.
Well, I mean, that moves through a tube.
Tube.
At 800 miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a subway at 800 miles an hour.
But if I understand it, there's no track, right? This is like free-floating?
Correct.
So, that's, the idea, like, the vision that popped in my head was, like, you know, if you go through the bank teller, you know, you put that container in there.
Yeah, it shoots over
a pneumatic tube, right? I mean, that is basically what this is, right?
Correct. You are putting yourself in one of those tubes. And I am all for it. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, I mean,
I wonder if you'd have to go through testing to go on it, because, I mean, the G-forces that you would experience going
well,
that speed.
You know, it depends on the acceleration, I would think. Because that's really, once you're moving at that speed, as long as you're not changing direction or speed too quickly, it might be pretty smooth.
Gotcha.
You know how it is when you're on the highway. You feel like you're still, right?
Correct.
You could believe that the world is just zooming by you, which, according to Einstein, is, in relativity, that is just a valid frame of reference. So, in a way, you are just sitting still and the world's streaming by you. Just blowing everybody's minds out there.
Yeah. So, and I guess to get back to the one thing, too, that I mentioned about the distance traveled, at least what they're planning here, San Francisco to L.A.,
is
35 minutes with the Hyperloop, 12 hours by Amtrak, and 6 hours by car.
Yeah, so, and that would just be so much better than driving. Oh, gosh. Now, that would be like a step closer to teleporting in a way.
I would have no problem. Like, unfortunately, the bus in town here does not hold much use for me. My lovely lady uses it all the time to go to work.
Right.
Anything like this, like, I loved taking the train when I was over in Europe because you could do shit. Like, you were not occupied with having to make sure that you don't kill yourself and other people don't kill you in the process.
You mean the crushing responsibility of piloting a several-ton piece of metal moving along, at a mile a minute, with other people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you are moving at a pretty good clip when you're driving. When you think about doing, 20 miles... doing 20 miles an hour on a bike requires you to be a Tour de France-style athlete.
Or go down a big hill or something.
Yeah, or go down a really steep hill and endanger yourself greatly is the other option.
That's what I would go for.
I don't think I went down a hill that big.
Oh, back home I did. I remember one time I just went down this hill so fast and then tried to hit this ramp at the bottom and totally went over the handlebars. And, knocked the air out of myself, and, everybody was staring at me. It was great.
Yeah, I think everyone did that once. I didn't ramp up that kind of speed, but we had that kind of a jump in that hill behind my parents' place where the woods used to be. And we came down, and there was this natural ridge there, and then there was a little ditch, and then that was the problem the one time is that you had to clear the ditch or else you were in trouble. And my front tire did not clear the ditch.
Ow.
And, I kind of, took the back flat bump, as they might say in professional wrestling, on the road just, the gravel road just past that.
So your front tire went into the ditch.
Yeah, because it was the up part of the ditch. Like, it wasn't that deep, but it's still, there was an upswing and then a flat, like I said, a gravel road. So on the upswing of that, my tire hit and I flipped.
Okay. Okay. Because
I didn't really go.
You flipped over and
laid down. Yeah, I didn't let go of the handles. I had the handles on me. So the bike over.
You were still pedaling, and the bicycle was just upside down and over top of you.
Right. I did not have the time to rock it off of it. It was all part of just one big flip.
Now, if that was today, there would be a YouTube fail video featuring that somewhere. Luckily, guess we didn't have that ubiquity of video back then.
Yeah, I would be on the Terry Crews soon-to-be Fox TV show Epic Fails. Yes. I certainly would have been a volunteer for that.
And probably me too, with my other accent.
Certainly.
Sadly, we were robbed of that experience. I guess they had America's Funniest Videos, home videos back then, but
right,
there was just not as much video recording going on.
No, not even a little bit. But back to the Hyperloop.
Sure. the thing that I thought was really cool about the Hyperloop is that, from what I was reading earlier, you could put it like in the footprint of a highway. Like, it doesn't take up a lot of space. Like, you might be able to put it in like the middle part of the highway if it's like, you know, there's a good gap in between there.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. It sounded like, and then I was thinking, like, in a way it is, like, we take roads for granted, really, but when you think about how many road, you know, miles of roads there are out there, and like the effort that it takes to like build maintain them. Yeah. Like, I don't know, maybe part of the thing with the Hyperloop is supposed to be that it's not going to be very expensive to build it. Like, they went into it trying to think, like, how we can do this cheaply. But, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I'm not I mean, it's kind of funny when you go, I'm not completely appalled by the fact that it's, their estimates for building it were $7 to $19 billion. Like, that's the other part of the future, is that the money numbers, the B word gets tossed around with a little regularity.
Yeah.
We're going to make billions. How about it, honey?
With a B.
Yeah, we always got to get her involved in her little drive-by in the show. Like, I think that's now a conscious thing.
Yeah, it's a little TLC, the ladies' corner there.
The ladies' corner. Oh, always love
it. That was a quick one.
Debuting a new segment on the show.
Well, not really. I guess christening, if you will.
Yes, the christening of a new segment.
Of an old segment, but it's a segment.
We'll rebranded segment.
Brand relaunch.
It'll be better than TNA's new brand relaunch on Destination America. Trust us.
Wow, that's I guess so. You're calling it like you see it.
Yep, I watched it. We can definitely have a better relaunch next week. I might even discuss just doing like. There was this, Sam Roberts on Opie and Anthony does this one question with a celebrity, and he always asks some inane question to a very, very popular celebrity, just because they could never get them on the show itself, and it always provided for a very simple answer. So I think we could work something like that out.
In terms of, like...
The ladies' corner. I mean, maybe you can talk to your woman about it. Maybe we could make it a weekly thing.
Like a question and answer sort of thing?
Just, yeah, a question, a answer.
Okay. Relating to the show, you think?
Or, relating to the show in some way.
All
maybe
right.
We could pull that off.
Okay, guys, we're...
new challenge to us.
Another decade of shows, another,
yep, 30 is going to be special.
Yes.
New segment.
New segment, we promise. New segment, next episode.
Yep, that's what's going to be special.
So, Hyperloop? Yeah, so the price is really going to be the deal here.
And it was kind of funny at the end of the, article, he's like, well, if people don't pay us here, we'll take bids otherwhere in the world just
True.
To see it built. It's just like, you know, they don't care who does it. They seem to prefer to build it here.
Well, I think he's, you know, American, so...
Well, he was German.
Oh, German?
Who lives in America now.
Okay. Well...
So...
He is related in some way to America. But he's America adjacent at this point, at least.
That is true.
But I think, you know, it makes you wonder if, you know, I think they were talking about building some high-speed rail along the same corridor in California. Like, do you want to maybe save your money on that? You know, a train that might go 300 miles an hour for the chance to invest in something that might go 800 miles an hour?
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting question, especially since the price tag attached to that, and I can't say I've looked it up.
I should have looked that up, too, because they were saying that I remember them saying that it was going to be crazy expensive to make the high-speed rail version. But, yeah, I should have looked that one up, too.
Well, I didn't think about it until right now, so, because I hadn't thought about it, but it's not going to be cheap. I'm going to take a wild guess that that estimate's going to be kind of high, too.
There might be some billions in that one.
Yeah, maybe one or two or something like that.
Oh, 68.4 billion?
Oh, well,
the California High Speed Rail Authority has estimated the project's year of expenditure cost at $68.4 billion. Well, let's see. There seems to be different estimates here.
Varying estimates.
Oh, wait, no. That was the per kilometer cost. $56 million. That's a lot.
Yeah, this sounds a lot cheaper.
I mean, it's at least in the same ballpark there. Because I think the high end was, what, 70 million?
17 billion.
Oh, 17 billion.
It was 9 to 17 billion.
Oh, well, shit, damn. Yeah. For some reason, I had 70 billion in my head. But yeah, no, that's a lot cheaper then.
Right. It seems like maybe you should think about it, at least.
Yeah, you hear that, California?
Think about it, damn it. Mike, we know you're out there. We know you're listening every week.
We're telling you, think about it. You know, I'm sure he's already thinking about it. Just need to get the governor out there thinking about it, I guess.
I'm
not sure if he's a listener or not yet. We have to get him still, maybe. I don't think we've reached the governor.
No, I doubt it. Well, one of the movies that the governator was not in.
Ooh, yes. Wow, that's a great segue. That's our segue of the week, folks. One of the movies that the governator was not in.
Yeah.
Not only were we not talking about that, they have a different governor now, but...
Yeah. They do have a different governor now.
We're referring to a movie. We're using that to point to pivot onto a movie that he was not in. That was our foothold. That was our, you know, a little crevice crack that you reach onto the next level. I hope we're using the proper gear for this climb, because we're out on the edge here, I feel like.
Well, there is also the fact that this movie is futuristic. I would say that...
Maybe near future, although, I don't know. Do you think so? Or is that present day?
I don't think it's quite present day, because the Transformers seem to have some type of a, dare I say, soul to them.
You mean... The Transformer robots themselves?
Yeah, the Transformer robots themselves.
The Autobots and Decepticons?
Correct.
Well, they do say there's more than meets the eye.
Yeah.
So that could be referring to a soul.
I feel like they are sentient beings. In my opinion, Transformers are sentient beings. And not just, I'd even say a Bender from Futurama. He always talks about, you know, his programming. So he is just a traditional robot, despite his hilarious antics.
Well, don't we all have programming, though? I mean, you look at these, like, logical fallacies out there that, you know, people fall for all the time. In a way, like, we have these propensities for things, you know, that we're quote-unquote programmed for.
Yeah, I would definitely say that there is some programming involved. Your parents definitely try to program you.
That's true.
Sure. Some of it is successful, some of it is not.
Yes. Yeah, and, you know, society, don't get me started. Try to program you, man.
The man tries to keep you down.
Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, we're not, I guess what I'm saying is we're not so different than robots, Kevin.
No, but everyone seems to agree that we have some type of a animation being inside of us that is not present in a majority of robots, even at the current moment.
Right.
Even if they're smart robots, they're not sentient.
Okay.
We are not that far away from it.
At the risk of going slightly off topic here, we were talking about robots being sent, the Transformers being sent
to. Right. You're the one that created this segue. Don't try to backtrack now, motherfucker.
Oh, my God. That's the ultimate in, like, propaganda subterfuge. This is, like, out of 1984. Doublespeak. Like, I came up with this segue. Trying to blame it on me. This is like a false flag attack. what was I going to say now, damn it? Okay, we were talking about...
Transformers and sentient beings.
Yeah. I was thinking about other... you know, sci-fi robots, you know, having souls. And I was thinking, you know what, most of these robots I'm thinking of would have souls, I think people would say. But then I got to R2-D2. Do you think people would think, does R2-D2 have a soul?
I would say no. I would say no for C-3PO also.
Yeah? Well, you're right, though, because people do treat them like shit.
Yeah, I mean, they are treated like garbage, yeah. And they're, for the most part, okay with it. C-3PO maybe gets a little bit offended from time to time, and, well, actually, R2-D2 does get offended from time to time.
Yeah.
So there's some level of acknowledgement, but as the overall presentation of them, I don't feel like they have a soul. They're just very animated... robots.
You know, it's interesting that...
Kind of like a Bender. I already said that Bender wasn't sentient, but, so I mean, I'm gonna stick with it here.
I feel like Bender, like, is viewed by the other characters as having a soul, in a way. Like, they don't...
Yeah.
They, you know... It always bummed me out, I think, at Star Wars, because they really did treat R2-D2... And as a kid, I think you like the robot characters, right?
Yeah.
But they really treated them like, you know...
Garbage.
Yeah. They were like, oh, gosh, you know. And they were, like, always yelling at C-3PO and telling him to shut up. And, like, they would never talk to, anyone else like that. But I don't know. I guess that's how they really didn't see them as having souls.
No, I mean, Luke was repairing one, I guess, would be another reason...
Well, but that's kind of like, yeah, I mean, it's like he's working on, you know, his furnace or something. It wasn't like, yeah.
Right.
He's administering care or something.
Yeah, so, I mean, even the protagonist of that movie does not seem to be caring about, like, he cares about R2-D2, but he also just...
He's not as rude to him, at least, but he maybe just has better manners. I don't know. Uncle Owen may have, you know... raised him well out there on the evaporator farm. Is that what they're... The one out there? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
Drinking blue milk. So, what...
yeah, well...
Transformers, you know?
Yeah, Transformers was... really,
Arnold Schwarzenegger, famously not in that one.
Since you decided to blow up my pivot... Like the dick that you are. Yeah, we got a little astray from the fact that you pointed out this Megatron insulting a young lady who wanted to take a picture in front of him. A selfie, sure. As the kids like to do these days.
Yeah, what? Self-taken photograph.
Yes, self-taken photograph.
An auto portrait, if you will.
yep, he asked her to contribute to society.
Right, and he really laid into her. Now, this this seemed to be like a sort of like a Universal Studios sort of situation, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it was at Universal Studios.
Because you could, I mean, but
Hollywood variety.
I'm surprised that he would be able to do that kind of to customers, you know.
It was pretty impressive that it had that much animation to it.
Because he was kind of like, yeah, really getting like, she said she was disappointing at the end.
Well, I was just surprised at how much it moved, to be completely honest with you. Like, it moved far more than I expected it to. Like, yeah. It wasn't stuck in place. Like, it moved from left to right.
Well, that's because he has a soul, Kevin.
That is true.
That lets him move around a lot more than you think. Yeah. I guess it was,
but there was some type of...
You know, somebody was doing the voice.
Yeah, someone was doing the voice.
Sorry to pull back the curtain there for our audience.
Well, and it made me think of that. Did you see that other video recently that was I guess there's been Gaston down at Disney World got challenged to a push-up contest by some girl, and then he lost to her. So some kid decided, oh, well, I'm going to show up Gaston too. And he challenges him to a push-up contest, but ends up losing. So,
man, they should make a movie about that.
Well, it was just a similar thing where, you know, there's someone in the outfit that's got to kind of stick up for themselves. And I think it's kind of funny that it's... If it was Optimus Prime, it would be one thing. Since it's Megatron and he is the bad guy, it makes sense for him to be insulting rather than complimentary. If it was Optimus Prime doing this... Doesn't make sense. I don't agree with it. But Megatron, bad guy. He's the dick. He needs to be the dick with someone taking a selfie. Like that.
Yeah, although I feel like Megatron's more about the business. Like, he wouldn't necessarily be laying into you. Maybe if they had, like, Starscream, you know. I think that would make more sense to me. Is he even in these Michael Bay movies that they have now?
I have not seen one of those. I should rewind that. I've seen portions of the first one. Mm-hmm. But that is all.
I saw the first one, I think, once. And I was just disappointed. Like,
I don't want humans with my Transformers. That is going to be my hang-up. I just want to see robots beating the hell out of each other. Like, I want...
there were humans in the original cartoon, though.
But they didn't really get in the middle of the fighting.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, I think, more about the robots. Yeah, it was more about the robots in the cartoon.
Right.
Origins, but...
yeah, they weren't, like, going after them with, like, machine guns. Oh, this is going to do something to Transformer.
Yeah. And it just, the way that they look is just so, like, off-putting to me. Like, I don't get it. Like...
Oh.
How those transform in the movie, like, and the way they move around and everything. It's just, I don't get it.
I haven't seen enough to really kind of give it a give it a swing.
I feel like this was, you know, this actor's shtick here. You know.
I would imagine he is not this woman is not the first time this rant has been unleashed.
Yeah.
She just happened to catch it on camera instead of, you know, her being ready to take the selfie. She was doing, you know, the video first and then moved Well, no, never moved to taking the selfie because of his tirade.
Yeah, she may have just decided to...
She bailed out.
It could even be that somebody was... she had seen someone else go through the same thing, you know, and she might have just been, like, reporting it to get it.
There is that, yeah.
Because, I mean, she seems like... she's kind of laughing about it, like she's not really... like embarrassed, really, you know.
That's true. I did not think about that within her reaction, because she still does react to it.
Yeah.
Well enough that I think she sells it in wrestling terms.
Yes, but yeah. So I was just trying to figure out like what, how does this he do that all the time? You know, it was kind of a brutal. in a way.
Yeah.
Basically saying, like, you know, stop looking at your phone all the time. Make some memories.
Yeah, he did actually say make some memories. And that's the way... It kind of cracks me up. It's just like... I don't... And maybe it's just because I hang around people that don't overdo it with the phone... That I think I'm just like, no, there's, you can walk a line between being ridiculous and, you know, at least recording some stuff, even if it's for your own sake. Fuck everyone else, honestly. Like, even if you share it on Instagram, like, it doesn't necessarily need to be for everyone else. Like, you still have that picture that you like.
So you're saying that, you know, sometimes some people might go overboard with the phone, you know. Or anything else, really.
Oh, definitely. There are people that do it.
But that doesn't mean that everybody's going to... That doesn't mean you should, like, make using your phone illegal, for instance, you know? Just be... You know, like, somehow...
What? How did we jump to that?
Well, it just... It reminds me of something I heard when I was listening to Nancy Grace and the rapper 2 Chainz.
Wow. And you have the gall to bust my balls over that segue.
Oh, come on. It wasn't like a...
Wow.
All right, we'll let the audience decide. That'll be our poll this week. Who had the better segue? But, yeah, she was basically saying that, you know, because some people are going to go too far, like...
Okay. Nancy Grace talked to, evidently this rapper's name is 2 Chainz. As Shahid very well knows, I am not up on my rappers.
Right.
And I am not familiar with 2 Chainz at all.
Yeah, I don't really, I mean, to my knowledge, I haven't heard any of his music. But,
yeah.
He seemed to be... what am I trying to say here? He did well in his debate with Nancy Grace. Like, I feel like he was, in a way, Nancy Grace was. I could believe that she was like a really in favor of marijuana, and she was just kind of making like the dumb arguments to sort of like get beaten in a way.
Yeah, but it's...
If it was like a, you know, double bank shot kind of thing that she is pulling off here, but, I doubt that's really it, but I could almost see it.
Well, from what I hear, like, I only hear from, like, Opie and Anthony, just because, like, every now and again they will, like, mention her opinion and just mention how much of an idiot she is. So, when I saw this video, I was not much surprised by the level of debate. Which is why it cracked me up when I went to search for this video. It said, should she be fired for this video?
Wait, and this video?
Yeah, for this debate with 2 Chainz.
Who said, should she be fired?
It was one of the topics that came up in the Google search.
Like a headline or something?
Right.
Wow.
As far as I can tell, she basically does this to anyone that comes on her show, is that, you know, she just kind of verbally assaults them and pushes her point and doesn't listen to a lick of what the other person is saying. Because she did not respond to anything he said at all the whole time.
Oh, well, I mean, she kind of has that reputation, I think, for being, you know,
well,
a tough-talking kind of, you know,
kind of gal.
Yeah, exactly. Which, you know, is kind of an annoying persona for some, you know, a lot of people, so...
Yeah, that's why I will not, and, well, I don't normally take my time to do this, but this was a pretty funny verbal beatdown. Well, actually, I don't know if I'd even call it a beatdown, though. Like, he ran circles around her, but he didn't really make it a point to try and overpower her obnoxiousness.
Yeah, I think he was able to be... just rational with her, and I think it kind of surprised her in a way. Like, she she was like, oh, what?
Well, she just...
does not compute. I do not understand.
She kept on jumping. Like, it was just weird, too. Just, like, the format of her interview, because it was, ask about why you would promote smoking pot and mention that he has a master's degree. So she's just not debating some dummy.
Yeah, no.
So she kind of points out herself that she's not debating some dummy, and he gives her, well, college-level responses, let's say, about the matters of smoking pot.
And her objections or, like, gotchas were, like, these videos of parents, like, having their kids, like, 2-year-olds smoke pot, and it's like... who would do that? I mean, like...
Yeah, and even he said, he's like, no, that is not a good parenting thing to do.
Right.
Like, he's like, someone like that is irresponsible, and they should not be allowed to have pot.
Well, yeah, it's just, like, wrong to do. Like, they probably have other issues beyond... I mean, they have other things going on wrong with them besides pot. You know, it's not the pot that's making them do this, I guess. Was kind of his point. Which, I don't know how you can argue that.
She kept on using that point over and over again, though, like, minutes later in the argument. So it's just like...
Yeah, she just kept going back to that well again and again.
Yeah, she kept on going back to it. He kept on going, I already told you that that's not what... normal person does.
Right.
He's like, I don't do that to my own 2-year-old. He's like, I don't even give her caffeine.
Right, yeah.
Because I think that that is too extreme for her.
Right, right.
Like, it was just like, he's not talking complete sense. She's like, would you do this to your 2-year-old? He's like,
no, that's ridiculous.
No, I won't even give her caffeine. Like, what else do I need to do to stop you from making this point?
Yeah.
Like, this is just one dumb person that recorded themselves. And I think it started with the, because I did have to laugh, because I think it was the report that someone ate a college student.
Someone ate a college student?
No.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, one of the Titans ate a college student.
Oh my god, Attack on Titan.
Yep, Attack on Titan is happening down in Panama City as we speak.
Holy shit.
Yep, we gotta watch out.
Cancel spring break plans.
Go somewhere else. Yeah. Go behind Rose Wall.
Yeah, that's my advice. Find a big old wall, hide behind. If you haven't seen Attack on Titan,
you
it's
will not get
pretty crazy.
Jokes.
Yeah. Okay, Nancy Grace,
she was just giving him grief about stuff that he didn't agree with.
I also liked her question about his name. Why 2 Chainz? Just curious.
Well, and that was the other weird part about the interview is that you're supposed to take her serious because I was talking about the college kid. I think that this whole debate started
the guy
because
got eaten.
Who? No. He had eaten some type of a pot brownie. of some nature and ended up jumping out the window. And that was the first point that he made, too. And this, well, A, the video that we watched did not establish the point that that's what they were talking about. I did hear the story, and I'm just like, he was at a party. Like, you're telling me that he was only drinking pot, or that only smoking pot? True. Like, yeah, I'm sure a college student at a party was only smoking pot. And the first thing he goes, there was alcohol involved, too. Like, it isn't just a this thing. Like,
and I mean, it could happen just with alcohol, too. I think there's, you know, a girl at Penn State that fell off a balcony or something a few years back, you know.
And that's the first, when I did hear the report, like, I just heard, like, a quick headline, I just shook my head. And I'm just like, college student party, fell off the balcony. I'm like, I'm lucky that when we were bonging beers off of my balcony that someone didn't fall off of it for my graduation party. Because we had people upstairs feeding beers down through the bong. Someone just as easily could have fallen off of that.
That's true.
No pot involved. Well, I mean, for some of us.
And I guess that's the other thing, too, is like some, if you're, I mean, some parents might give their young kids alcohol, and, you know, that's not right either. But that's not a reason to necessarily make it illegal for everybody, you know?
Well, right. And I certainly know plenty of people that their parents did give them alcohol at younger ages, or at least did not, maybe not gave it to them, but gave them the option of sipping it from time to time.
Yeah.
Is what I normally heard.
Yeah, I've heard similar things. But
I was not in the in that case.
Yeah, I would just I think he probably did, in my mind, maybe I'm misreading the public, but I would think that he probably gave people food for thought there, as far as like a good reasons why legalization makes sense in terms of like saving money on, you know, the legal system.
Oh, yeah. Because he even went through an example of what happened when they found 0.01 grams of pot in his tour bus.
Yeah, it sounded like it was in a...
Or 0.1.
Like a grinder, it sounded like, kind of. Like
they used it in a grinder.
To grind it up, yeah.
So they took him to court. It got dismissed because he said it wasn't his. But it took up court time and all of that. And then his bodyguards ended up, not getting any fine out of it. Like, they ended up beating the charge.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's just time for a judge that's just senseless.
Right.
Like, why do we have a judge doing that? Yeah. Like, yeah, it's a big charade. Is some people might say.
Yeah, I just thought it was I brought it up because I thought it was an interesting debate here that, and it was like, obviously there's the, I just wonder how they came up with that booking. Like, who was it decided? I wonder if 2 Chainz wanted to talk to Nancy Grace about it. That's about the only way I can imagine that happening. I don't know.
I don't know how that works, and I don't really care.
Well, it just seems like an odd couple, you know.
Well, she just wants to assault somebody, and he happens to be on the other end. But they want someone who can answer her questions, I guess, or at least retort to her.
Yeah.
So, again, maybe the master's degree came into play there.
Yeah, it seemed like he would have put himself out there as somebody to make that argument.
Spokesman.
Yeah.
At least, at a minimum.
Well, I feel like we might have run the course of the show here, Kevin.
Yes, we... Even though my stupid recording program just stopped just as you said that.
Interesting. I don't know. I guess it's...
didn't care for my tone, maybe?
No, it did not. tomorrow's Sippy Time beer will, again, probably be posted before this. But tonight,
from the
gratefully provided, well, it's the Stone Stochnicity Project, I believe.
Stochasity, maybe?
Stochasity? Yeah, I don't know how to say it. I did not look it up beforehand, but it's the Quadro Triticale. And yeah, it's a Belgian quadruple ale, and certainly different than what we've had in recent shows.
Yeah.
And
I liked it. It's
quite tasty.
Yeah, I was glad for a change up. And at 9.5%, I believe, it does pack a punch. But
yeah, I did not look that part up, but it's not surprising. Quadruple ales tend to be very high in alcohol content.
Yeah.
Because you're distilling it four times, so naturally the...
That's going to increase the alcohol content.
Correct.
If I understand how distilling works. But, yeah, it was nice to have something that wasn't so super hoppy. It almost had a little bit of like a... For some reason, I was thinking of tea as I was finishing it.
Oh, yeah. All the spices in it have kind of a tea-ish flavor.
Yeah.
But it was good. That it has enough... well, I'm glad that it doesn't really taste like tea to me, because though I may have adapted to coffee, I have not adapted to tea.
No, I it was not the main... I didn't want to give the wrong impression here that it tasted like exactly like tea or something, but
yeah.
I thought I detected a little bit of a...
There is a lot of spice usually involved with quads, so...
Yeah.
That Sippy Time Beer of the Week... And, what? I mean, we don't have anything else? We're just out?
Episode 30 next week. New
TLC.
Segment.
New yeah. segment.
So, come back, same bat time, same bat channel.
We know you'll be drooling for it.